Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given to him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense to him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at the lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. Every good story has an unexpected twist, a surprising turn. And the readings today manifest that. In today's gospel, Jesus returns to his hometown after performing everywhere in the other neighboring villages powerful deeds and miraculous healings. And as typical, usually, a hometown boy or girl who's good in sports, who's a great entertainer, even a politician, is usually accepted by the hometown people. In fact, they are proud of them. They're like, "Oh yeah, I know him or her from South Pasadena." But in Jesus' case, initially, they accepted him, or they were astonished, but then it quickly turned to rejection. "Don't we know him? Isn't he a carpenter, a worker just like us? Isn't he the son of Mary? And how does he know more about God than we do? Who does he think he is?" Expectations, expectations, expectations. And the expectations turns to prejudice. What's prejudice? The inability or the unwillingness to see or to understand beyond our expectation, beyond what we are familiar with, beyond what we are comfortable with. And because of prejudice, Jesus could not do very much. Lack of faith. And Paul experienced what Jesus experiences. His fellow Jewish missionaries had issue with Paul because he took the good news, which they thought that only belonged to a small group of people, and he brought it to foreigners. And they attacked him, not just what he says, they attacked his person. They say, "Well, you know, Paul, maybe you can write good letters, but as a person, you are not impressive, and as a preacher, you are not eloquent." And instead of fighting back, instead of listing all of his accomplishments, what did Paul do? He boasts on his weakness. Crazy. And when he prayed three times for God to take away the thorn in the side suffering, what message did he receive from God? To embrace his weakness and to accept that God's grace is enough, even with other people's prejudice and attacks on you. And this is the great twist. This is the unexpected surprise. That God's power, God's light, God's strength shines the most through human weakness. It is a surprise because in any leadership organization, in any structure, we try to hide our blemishes and our limitations and our weaknesses. In fact, Paul and Jesus say something radically different. The great news, the great good news of our faith and of God's abiding love for us is God's light, God's strength, God's goodness shines most through human weakness. Pope Francis says that Jesus overturns preconceptions and all forms of prejudices so that we can open our eyes to see the reality, to see the great good news that we are all made in the image and likeness of God. And not only that, we are God's favorite hiding place so that in every human person, we can encounter the face of God. In every human experience, including unexpected, surprising twists and turns, we can encounter the living God. And Pope Francis talks about the scandal of the incarnation, which is that God would take on our human weakness, that God would think through a human mind, that God would act through human hands, that God would feel with human heart. And that God in Jesus promises to be with us. I'm with you. I love you. Trust me. And through areas in your life where you want to hide, where you think weakness is not worthy of God's goodness. But isn't this true? Isn't this true that when we face our limitations and weakness, we're more likely to ask for help? Because we're like, God, I can handle it. Give me one challenge, give me two, fine. Give me three, I can handle it. But God gives five. And now things drop, and then we complain, and then we get over ourselves, and now I need help. And isn't it true? Isn't it true that when we're at our wit's end and we've done our best to be worthy of love, to cover out of our blemishes, when we acknowledge our weakness, when we ask God for help, grace overflows. The Alcoholic Anonymous movement knows this. No, any alcoholic or people related to this disease which affects family knows that when we acknowledge that we are powerless over this alcohol, this thing, and we can rely on a higher power, a greater power, a power greater, bigger, deeper, more life-giving than human weakness, than addiction, than whatever it is life throws our way. And isn't it true? Isn't it true? When whether we're alcoholic, we suffer from addictions or whatever form of ailment, isn't it true that when we acknowledge our weakness, our limitation before God, maybe it's uncomfortable to acknowledge in front of other people, but at least towards God, we discover this great twist of our faith, of the good news. We don't have to earn salvation. In fact, God's light, God's goodness, God's strength shines the most to human weakness. So how do we practice this? two ways I recommend in the following week. One, I know it may be a trite saying, let go, let God. Challenges will come. Suffering will come. Crisis will come. Prejudice will be thrown our way, irregardless of what color skin we have. Do we try to acknowledge and embrace our limitation and weakness? And maybe we're not ready to let people see us. But take a moment to ask for the grace. Lord, help me to accept this. Help me to be open to your grace. When I am weak, you are stronger. When I acknowledge my frailty and my mistakes and my sin, your goodness and your mercy shines. And we can do this to another human being, with another human being. This could also be so freeing. But at least do it with God. In the coming week, all of us will encounter weakness and limitations and prejudice and suffering. The second way we can practice is consider someone, I say this a lot, we have an allergic reaction to, you know? Someone, you're just next to them and you start to sneeze, but they have no idea because all these things are happening inside, jealousy and resentment and hurt and blah, blah, blah. We try to hide and stuff it down, but you know what I mean, no? People, we have allergic reaction. Or people, we have preconceived notion, or dare we say, people, we are prejudiced. Why? Because we're not willing or we're unable to see and understand beyond our expectation, beyond our comfort zone, beyond what we are familiar with. Pray for the person. But don't pray that they will change. Like a lot of times we say, pray for that person, Lord. He needs to change. He needs to grow up, or he needs to be more loving. Pray for the grace, Lord, that I could see this person as a child of yours, as a beloved of yours. I don't have to like him or her. And just pray that I can see how you hide in this person, your goodness in this person, your light which shines through his or her weakness and blemish, and that things which kind of puzzles me and challenges me. Pray for that. I mentioned last month I've been here for 5 years, and what I've seen the parish is doing and in the next 5 years of the apostolic priorities of becoming a more joyful disciple church, of becoming a more outreaching church, becoming a church more welcome to young adults, to young family. This is incredible. And as we embrace our weakness, as we acknowledge God, power is greater than our prejudice and our limitation. We can, as a community, grow even greater. Yes, because of our weaknesses and because of our limitation, there will be times that we will lose heart. Yes, lose your heart. See it as an opportunity to be one with the heart of Christ. A heart which is radically open to God's mercy and goodness. A heart patient and a heart with utter joy. A heart in which when we go up to the Eucharist, whether we receive the Eucharist or we receive a blessing, we receive that heart. The heart of the one who lives and says, God's grace, God's goodness is more than enough for me. Let us become more of a community that says, when we are weak, God is strong. When we are small, God is bigger. When our heart restricts or constricts, then God's light and God's goodness overflow.